not an anybody who has something like
that. Okay, let's start with what the case we finished last week. We have Bochrin together, and they are washing and dry cleaning their shirts together. So one of them goes on behalf of all the other Bochrin with the whole sack full of shirts, and dry cleaning needs to be done, and taking to the laundry mat and inserts them into the machine, has problems activating it. He goes to the person in charge. He says, can you show me how this works? He comes home, and the owner turns it on. What happened was, instead of everything coming out white, everything comes out red. Why? Because a bocher left in one of his pockets a red pen. Now, Shaila, he asks, is he chayiv? Who is chayiv? If anyone's chayiv, for the damage which is done to all those shirts. Is it the bocher? Is it the person who turned it on? So, the person who turned it on is for sure not chayiv. We established that, we already saw from knocking down the wall scenario. He's a complete onus. Even his other mazik, the onus is potter, even according to the Ramban, especially when he's told to do the activity he's supposed to be doing. So the shaila is that the bocher who puts in that red pen, let's look at it, he's creating a fire, and everybody else who moves it along to the final destination called the washing machine is called the wind, and therefore the bocher who left his pen is tired because he mazik everybody's clothes with an ish called the red pen. So we came up last week and we saw in Tosus a Yesod on Baba Kama Daf Samach that says like this. A Yesod in Hilchus Eish. And that was, when do we say you're chayav for lighting a fire, even if you don't actually damage it and the wind blows it and damages it, that's when you lit a fire. But if you didn't light a fire, you had a partnership, somebody else, I helped you light the fire. For example, the case is talking about, you blew on the fire and the wind blew on the fire, which made the fire from something which wasn't dangerous, it was just coals, glowing coals, and you blew in it to bellow it up together with the wind. What made it dangerous? What made it into fire? Not just me, I had a partner called the wind. Together we made the dangerous fire. As soon as you have a part in creating the dangerous item, then you're no longer under the category of Eish, because there's a cost of Eish is only when you make the whole dangerous item yourself, not if you have a partnership in creating the dangerous item. And therefore, there's a release over that, that you're not called Eish in such a case.
In creating the item.
In creating the dangerous fire. Yep.
Meaning the person blowing on the coals wasn't blowing strongly enough?
Correct. He wasn't blowing strongly enough, the wind wasn't blowing strongly enough. Together they blew, it was enough strength together to create the fire. Then you didn't do it by yourself, so therefore there's no chiyuv. The chiyuv is only if you make the whole fire yourself.
So like Shnayim Shasu.
Yep, Shnayim Shasu Fabrizio. Since Tosis has that Yesod, we came back and said, okay, we've got that Satsu Yesod. Therefore, let's relate it to our case. How did these shirts get damaged? No? How did the shirts get damaged?
Partnership of the boy and his friends.
Boys and his friends, no.
Having the laundromat.
No, not the boys and his friends.
The pen and the water.
Pen and the water and the spin. If the pen would have just left in the shirts, nothing would have happened. Not dangerous in itself. What made it into an item which could damage the shirts? The water got in with the spin, with the ink, together it now became dangerous and it damaged the shirts. So therefore, since the boy, the bocher, even if he was negligent, even if he was negligent and not removing that pen before he handed his over to be taken to dry cleans. But at that stage, he hadn't yet, he didn't do the mazik. Right, so it needed also an input of water and spin to create it, as now it's a dangerous item which can create damage. And therefore, it's not chayev, even the bocho put the pen inside.
When he puts his pen in the pile of laundry,
yes,
is it not a psik reisha? Because it's going to be added to water and spin.
Yes, even if it's psik reisha, Tosis release is even if it's psik reisha. I'm blowing, the wind's blowing. We're together blowing, even though I know by blowing with my strength won't be able to enough. I know that since there's another force which would make my strength of blowing enough to create a dangerous item, and it will create damage, I still release, because at the end of the day, you yourself, by yourself, did not create the fire. You needed somebody else to make it.
But a fire is never dangerous without the wind.
So what is wind? Wind by definition means it's dangerous and it was just transporting the fire from one place to another.
Okay, so the ink is dangerous and the water is transporting it.
It's not transporting it. It's converting it from being non-dangerous to dangerous.
No, it's actually diluting it. It's making it less dangerous.
No.
But it's
not going to be dangerous
at all. It's transporting it.
No, it's not transporting it.
Why not? That's exactly what it's doing.
No, it's not. It's putting it out and it's now in a protected environment. Which can't go out
it's
at
not
all.
Protected.
It's not, it can't go out at all. Whatever wind will blow it, it will never create damage. From here to here, it won't create damage. Yeah. Now, what's the reasoning why, therefore, and this is why I'm asking you now as we left off last week, what's therefore the reasoning of you put a stone on top of the roof? The Gemara and Daf Vav Amud Aleph and Baba Kama. You put the stone or knife on top of the roof. The wind blows it off, and now it falls down and damages. Why do we say Yochai Mishum Eish over there fire? Surely that's also a partnership in creating the dangerous item.
No, the stone is dangerous before the wind comes.
How's the stone knife dangerous?
Because it can hurt somebody.
How could it hurt somebody?
Through the transportation the knife of the is wind. Dangerous.
What?
The knife is already dangerous.
How's it dangerous?
The knife is already dangerous.
Because
a knife hurts someone.
If the wind transports it will hurt somebody.
So also the ink is dangerous if it gets trapped.
I agree. You're absolutely right.
Why I'm asking this question in order to sharpen your mind to understand the chilk. Yes?
A knife is more inherently dangerous. It's a weapon.
Ruach Mitzur. Talk about Ruach, that's the Gemara. It grew off of Ruach Mitzur. And we're saying the wind blew off the stone. This is small questions last week. The wind blew off the stone from the roof. And the Chorah, that's a partnership. The stone by itself can't create, smash the glass vase on the floor at the bottom. And the stone itself needs a partner to make it into a dangerous item, and that's called the wind. So therefore, say the same thing as Tosis. Stone, wind, partnership create something dangerous. No chiyuv of eish, because eish is only if you make the whole eish yourself, and all the wind does is transport it. But if you need a force to make it dangerous, then you're no chiyuv of eish.
No chiyuv of eish. Maybe location's a factor.
So what's the difference between the stone, which we say is the Gemara? You put the stone on top of the roof and the wind blows it, you're chayav b'shem eish. And Tosis' case, and our case, of you blow on the fire with not enough of force on those coals to create a fire, together with the wind blowing it, you can create a fire. And we say, Tosis, well, you're not chayav b'shem eish because it wasn't by yourself that created the fire. You needed somebody else to help you create the fire. Oh, then you're not chayav on fire. Also, with our pen, you needed the water to make the ink and the water to create dangerous items to ruin the shirt. So you're released. What's the difference between that and the stone when you put on the roof? We say you need the wind. Oh, and that wind, yeah, you're chayav.
The
stone,
the mask is there
already.
How do you create the mask? The question is, how is it going to be mazik?
The ink is there.
But that's not a mazik.
Why not?
Not? Because it's not.
It's a mazik for sure.
What are you going to do with
it? If I have a stone in my hand, it's not a mazik.
Of course it is. A stone is a mazik. Depending where you put it. But it's a mazik. Ink and water together.
I agree. Ink is a mazik.
No, the hezek is there. The question is, how is it going to damage? A pen is not, the hezek is not there. If you have a pen with water, the hezek is there. You might not understand that that's okay, but it's right what I'm saying.
See, Yemi's in good form tonight. Now, so the Nachlis Dovid in Baba Kama Daf Yotes explains like this. And then we'll move on to our next case. Nachlis Dovid says like this.
Is that here?
No. On purpose he didn't put it here, it was that you made your mind just think. So Nachlis Dovid says like this. The Yochad for putting the stone on the roof when the wind blows and pushes it off and it falls down and damages the glass bars wherever it falls on you, Yochad B'Shemesh, because there the wind is not a partner in creating the dangerous item. Why? Because all the winter is blew off. And why did the glass bars break? He says because of gravity.
So gravity is a partner.
No, gravity is the stone itself. The stone itself is now falling without the wind. The stone itself
the
is now
falling way wind causes
and,
go,
and picking
gravity
up speed. Why is it picking up speed?
Because of
that
the
is able to
force of gravity.
No. Maybe in science, yes.
Yes.
And when Torah comes later on, you understand that everything that scientists say ends up being wrong. And scientists always say that. The whole point of a good scientist is to prove the other theory wrong. And eventually he does. Is that the stone's own weight is making it go faster. And therefore, when it smashes the bars, stone in itself was the... that caused the damage by itself. All the winter is moving into position that enabled the stone itself to actually by itself be dangerous to smash the vase underneath. Masha and Kane, in the case of Tosis, where I blew on the coals which wasn't strong enough to make it into a fire, and together there's a wind blowing on the coals itself, not strong enough, but together we can now with our force create it into a fire which now makes it a dangerous item and can travel there. What I'm doing is not enough to create that by itself a dangerous item. I need a partner there for your release.
So gravity is never a force, is never a force.
Correct. And we'll use this later on. Also, you have to remember this, we'll use this later on.
Are there other answers?
No. Not at this stage. Therefore, we conclude it is that as soon as you need another force involved to make something dangerous, then you're going to be released from pain and no longer chiyuv of eish, or maybe just a chiyuv of groma. Eish is when you yourself did everything making the actual dangerous item, and all the wind does move into position enables that dangerous item to be able to now affect other items and actually create damage to it. Doesn't matter. If wind, that's maybe that's different. Maybe if the wind is windy before, and that may be different. Maybe that means he is chayv b'dei shamayim. Chayv b'dei shamayim. No, that's it. That is terrible. Chayv b'dei shamayim is terrible. Speak to anybody. It is the worst thing in the world. It's the worst thing in the world. It's much worse than b'dei
otah. Maybe I shouldn't say this. Chayv b'dei shamayim. It's all right b'dei shamayim. It may be terrible for the guy, but it's a cop out for the best.
Look at that person. It's actually...
I mean, the best can't do enough to deal with it.
The best is supposed to keep...
It's called working on your mitzvahs. That's what it means. Being realized and being frustrated and being holding back on your frustration and saying this is the rotzen of the Torah in this particular case, that the person should be chayv b'dei shamayim, which is 10 times worse than being chayv b'dei otah, because he's going to be in Gehenim if he doesn't do anything about it. More likely that the person is chayv b'dei otah because he's forced to be to teshuva. This person is not forced to do teshuva. Much higher test in such a case. and we may be frustrated at the initial results, but we as Jews have to understand
this. There's no
sanctions. Sometimes yes and sometimes not. The Nizik sometimes says this is the wrong
thing. There's no sanctions to be there based if someone purposely causes damage to somebody else.
What?
No sanctions to be based if someone purposely causes damage to somebody else.
Yeah, we had a share about this once, I think before you came, is that sometimes if the person takes advantage of it on a constant basis, basin then have the power to make special tukonas to prevent that person. But on a one-off basis, isn't it? Okay. Now let's move on to the second case. A bacha needs a break. And therefore, he decides he's going to go up for the day to Tiberia, and he's going to go surfing in Tiberia, on the Kinneret. So, he gets himself ready, and it's not the first time he's doing it. This is his hobby. He brings along his own personal surfing board. How's he going to travel up? He's going to go by bus. So he goes by the Egged bus system to Tiberia. Now, a person who has a hobby and he buys a surfing board, it's quite expensive surfing boards, he's very connected to a surfing board. Do you think that a person who's connected to a surfing board will put it underneath in the storage compartments of the Egged bus or not?
I would think so. There's no room on the bus.
Do you think somebody who's very connected to his surfing board would try his utmost not to put it underneath?
He'll buy the surfboard a seat on the bus.
Would you think a bacher would waste money on buying an extra seat on the bus for a surfing board if he can try and get away without buying extra space on the bus for a surfing board, and also try and not put his surfing board underneath the bus? So the bacher wants to have all the benefits, so he wants to build up, bring on the actual bus itself, and not actually buy extra seats, and the bus is packed. But that works to his advantage. Because it's so packed, the bus opens up the back door to let the women go on, and he sneaks on as well, with his surfing boots. And there's one position left to be able to sit, and that was right at the back, the corner seat at the back of the bus. Now, where's he going to put his surfing board? He's not going to have it on his lap the whole time next to him. It's uncomfortable. He doesn't want to be uncomfortable. Yeah? He wants to be on the bus with his surfing board. Yeah? Without buying an extra seat, but not uncomfortable. That's also not good. So he comes up with a great idea. He decides, look, there's a window right next to me. He'll put the surfing board outside the window. Hanging half outside the window, another half he ties up in order that it should be.
I see where this is going.
Yes, actually it happens. The bus driver, of course, doesn't see any of this. He's big at shouting and screaming at other people at the front. Okay. So that's where he comes up with this amazing plan. And the bus starts to drive. The bacher didn't take into one account one flaw in his plan that we're talking about with an Israeli Egged bus driver. He doesn't exactly follow the rules of overtaking, and the bus picks up speed, and he sees another bus in front of him which tries to cut him out, and therefore he swerves round him, but he misjudges the swerve if he would know that there's a surfboard sticking out, and therefore the surfboard smashes the window of the next door bus. Okay. Now we're commotion breaks out, and now we're in basement.
Egged went to basement.
No, because the other bus wasn't Egged.
Ah, okay.
The other bus was a Haredi firm. Okay.
Okay, so, what's the
So now we're in Beis Din, and does he have to pay for the brachius or the window?
Oh, there's two contributors, the bus driver and the surfboard.
So what's going on?
The bus driver's partner.
The company are claiming from the boy who smashed our window, you have to pay for the window damage to our bus. The boy's claiming from the company, you broke my surfing boards. Yeah, so works to it. So the shaila over here is the boy chayev for the damage that his surfing board did to that bus?
It was a combination of his force and the bus's force.
Why is this not the right move? Is this like the case of the rock on the roof? Or is this like the case of the bellows or the ink? The pen which is in the boy's shirt.
The
rock on the roof is chayef.
It's definitely a rock on the roof.
The rock on the roof is chayef.
You're putting it in a dangerous
place. Here, and the bellows and the pen in the shirt is potter. Because the pen in the shirt is seen as a partnership in the condition of the age. And the rock is called thug. The rock in itself damaged all by itself. Why? Because we just explained that gravity is basically the rock itself using its own weight to damage the item it falls on. Therefore, it has no partner in breaking that item. Masha and Kane, the bellows and the pan, they need another force addition to it, add to it, to create it into a mazik of any other item. Water to the ink creates damage now to the shirt. Wind with my blowing creates into fire which damages. So therefore, how do you compare this surfing board in this bus? Is it compared to the rock on the roof, which is what we would like it to compare to? That's the feeling over here. Or is it compared to the pen in the shirt?
Same as the pen in the shirt. Except he's done it purposely, which doesn't make any difference in our operation. It's Shemayim. Otherwise, it's the same.
I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you. I know it's hard for you to say something.
Well, he didn't do it purposely. He didn't damage purposely.
He put it out the window purposely, but he had no right to.
Right, but he didn't purposely damage.
He put it in a dangerous place.
Right, he's Poshaya. Poshaya.
And there was the other person who put it in a dangerous place, not purposely.
So the driver's an onus. He didn't even know about it. And since, assuming we're saying that Ega drivers always drive that way, so then it's inevitable that his board would smash into something. Right? It's not an unusual, it's not a Rosh Eino Mitsuya.
Correct.
The driver's a Rosh Eino Mitsuya.
Yeah, correct.
And therefore it should be like the rock and the...
It should be like the rock. Why?
Because the
How did that window on that bus get broken? What
the
made the bus
traveling? The bus was driving
the bus like driving, and normally went too
What's
close.
What's the word "normal" got to do with the question I asked?
Inevitable.
In both cases, as we've said before,
they're both inevitable. I got it.
Both inevitable, but one has you didn't create a fire by yourself, so therefore you're not chayiv. Only B'day Shemayim. The other is you made the whole damage. You put the stone there and the stone itself damaged. All the wind did is move it, but the stone used its own force to break the item by picking up its
stone. Right, Eric's right. The stone by itself is not dangerous.
Unless you call an egged bus driver the same as the force of gravity.
Right, it's not inherently dangerous, only a combination of the driving and putting out the wind.
So that's what should come out, that it should be compared to...
The dry cleaning.
The dry cleaning should be possible. Let us look at Tosus. Tosus and Tabov Omer's Aleph, which is talking about a stone that's put not on the roof. A stone is put on the floor in the Rishur Sarabim in the street, and somebody comes along, doesn't see it, kicks it, and by kicking it, it now flies through the air and smashes a glass vase. Somebody put down the stone, somebody walks in the street, kicks it without seeing it, it flies through the air and smashes a glass vase. What would you say? Is the person over there chayev mufreshim eish by putting the stone in the street, or does he need a partner to add something to it, which actually break the vase, and therefore he's released? What would you say over there?
Well, then we said the person is poshaya for not watching where he's stepping.
Fine, without the poshaya. before the Habamin of Muskodon Tosis, before the Peshay Adam, would the person who put the stone in the streets be chayav mishum esh, or do we say, no, in itself, it's not itself by itself going to damage the vase, we're at another force adding to it, which together that force will break the vase, and therefore you haven't created esh by yourself, and then you're released. What do you compare it to in that case?
Not the same as gravity.
Something kicking it is not the same as gravity. It's another force which is needed to break the vase. So you would say that Potter, you know what? Rashi says you're Potter in that case because of that reason. Says Tosus. Because Svarim Kosim. All my guesses in the Gemara say the Hadika Oznika Maski. If it damages, why it's flying through the air, Koko, it's your, the person is Chai B'Shemesh, the one who put the stone down. But Kirish Kutuzunas, I don't understand why Rashi doesn't go with it. What do we see from Tosis? What do we see from this Tosis? Tosis learns, if someone puts down a stone, and somebody else kicks it, and together with him putting down stone and licking it, it breaks the vase. The one who put it down would be chayiv. If it wouldn't be for another factor, which Tosis talks about another time, which we already spoke about, but the one who put it down would be chayiv b'shem esh. And he doesn't understand why Rashi says you're not. According to his guess, it's written in the Gemara. Rashi has different guesses, but he doesn't understand why Rashi doesn't want to go with it. Because Rashi says, well, what do you mean you don't understand? Rashi says, of course you're not chayav mishum esh because you need a partner. But Tosis says, I don't understand. You should be chayav. What do we see from that? That Tosis learns that even in a case where you have, when you have what?
Another
force which is necessary to make the actual damage, you're still going to be chayav for esh when you put the stone down, even though you needed someone else to add something to make it damage. You see, Tosis doesn't hold of this concept that you're not esh unless you make the whole thing. Yes?
I thought he introduced the concept.
Pardon?
I thought he introduced the concept.
And therefore, question number one, the $1 million question, is that, what do you mean Tosis doesn't hold of the concept? Tosis is the source of this concept from Daf Samach, which we learned last week. So therefore, now I'm asking you a question. Tosis definitely holds of the concept because he introduced it last week. And nevertheless, he's saying, when you put down a stone in the street, and you need somebody else to kick it, and only with the force of kicking it damages somebody else. The one who put it down is Chai B'Shem Esh. Why? How does that fit with his own concept of when both people were blowing, he was blowing, and the wind were blowing on the coals to make the fire? Then you've got concepts. You didn't by yourself make the fire, you were released. What's the difference?
That was same time.
What's the difference between stone down in the street, somebody else kicking it, where you are Chai B'Shem Esh, even though you need another force? And when two people, you blow, and the wind blows to make the fire on this coals which were glowing before, no, you're released because you didn't make the fire. You needed something else. Here also you need something else. What's the difference?
The wind and blowing were happening at the same time. Here you're putting down the rock, and then afterwards someone else comes along.
So even more?
No, but that's more like, that's more
very
like,
good.
That's more like fire and wind. Where you first light a fire, and then a wind comes.
No.
You're not creating it.
No, that's creating karma problem.
To be called creating, it means you create it together.
Forget the Chazanish as a karma problem. Maybe when the wind's already blowing, that's called you doing everything. There's already the force in the world, and you doing everything. Maybe that's worse. You say, it's always good, but
putting the stone down is in itself creating aid. On your own.
Creating an ace which can't damage the vase without somebody kicking it.
That's
Koach Akhmur. So Koach Akhmur means is that the other Koach is not needed to damage, it just needs transported. But here you needed the energy in the guy kicking to actually break the vase with the stone. The stone itself just touched the vase. it would not break it. It's only because there's extra energy added to the stone with the force of the guy kicking that was able the stone to break the vase. So therefore, it's not just transporting the stone, it's actually adding to the stone energy which can now break the glass. So if you need an addition of another force to what you put down, then I didn't create the damage by myself.
Explain gravity as well.
Gravity is not another force. Gravity is the stone's own force.
If somebody kicked the stone on the way up, it would reach the apex and start coming down, then it's gravity and the stone's weight that's breaking.
Correct. The Tosin doesn't make you look at him, he doesn't say you're only five when it's coming down, but if it's going up, you're actually potty. He doesn't say that.
Maybe he means that.
It doesn't say that.
I would suggest one is creating a situation that could not normally be considered dangerous, and the other is creating a situation that could normally be considered dangerous.
Very good. I agree with you. I don't think anybody else understands what you're saying. Does anybody understand what Eric's saying? I understand what Eric's saying. What? So therefore everyone else can still input in, because I don't believe you understand what I said, but it's very good. It's actually the right answer. If I understand you properly, it's the right answer. But does anybody know? Anybody see the chilek themselves?
What is more gonna happen?
This is called a bore.
What?
It's called a bore, a mitgalgel. A bore is inherently a sakana.
Inherently, okay, that's a good word to use. But also good. Okay, let me explain. When does Tosis say that there's a? You're not making an H. Okay, you're not making an H because you need another force. Okay, you're not five with the autumn. Okay, that what's the actual example he talks about? There's already a fire. Of coals, he didn't light it. Glowing coals, he didn't light over there. Not dangerous at all. Comes along a person and blows on it. Not enough to make it pipe up as a fire, but with the combination of the winds, now it creates a fire, it spreads and creates damage. Yeah. So that Tosis says, oh look, you did put down the fire itself. All you did is try to make it dangerous. You yourself trying to make it dangerous wasn't enough. You needed somebody else to help you make it dangerous. Oh, then you're not Chayv Mishum Esh. You're not Chayv Mishum Esh in such a case. But you didn't actually create the item itself which damaged. And you tried to, the already existing item, make it dangerous. You couldn't make it dangerous unless you then you're not Chayv. You didn't do anything here. You didn't make the thing and you didn't actually make it dangerous by yourself. But if you put down something which the Torah defines, you put something dangerous down, like Dan points out, it's halakhically, as soon as you put a stone down in Rishus HaRabim, it's called a bar b'Rishus HaRabim. You put down something which is dangerous by definition, so much so we can force you in Beis Din to remove it, halakhically, b'dayotam, because you've done something which is dangerous. You did that, dangerous item. You did something over there.
I thought is where the damage is caused by you falling into
But you defined what you've done. Let's bring that example. You defined the action of putting down a stone, not as you've done nothing. You've actually created something as Torah defines, not only society defines, and intrinsically dangerous. When you've done something intrinsically dangerous, it doesn't matter now that you needed another koach, another force to actually create the actual damage at the end. As soon as it damages the end, since you made something intrinsically dangerous at the beginning, Tosin says that's enough to be b'chayv mishum esh.
You mean it's dangerous because it could have caused a different type of damage without...
Yes, correct. And therefore Tosis...
Is it different in the case of the
What?
It's different in the case of the rock and roof because
rock and the roof? No, because rock on the roof, Tosis doesn't need to come onto the gravity concept. Rock on the roof, when it's leaning over in that position, is also called intrinsically dangerous over there. And therefore you're retired, even if it's not the gravity which breaks it, even if it's the wind which added very strong wind, which added extra force to the actual stone to travel, you'd also be tired, because Tosis' concept is, as soon as you put down something intrinsically dangerous, it doesn't mean now, doesn't matter now, that there's other forces which actually is necessary to actually create the damage at the end. That's not necessary according to Tosis. And therefore, according to Tosis, we just have to define in our cases, have you done something intrinsically dangerous? And therefore, it doesn't matter if you need another force to actually create the danger, or have you not done something intrinsically dangerous and it's needed another force to make it dangerous? Yeah? And that will be the definitions according to Tosas, whether you're chayav your potter.
Is that because of Tefila Tov B'Shea? That concept?
No, this is to do with how to learn the potter of Chavor Eish, creating an Eish. Yeah? So if so, if that's the definition according to Tosfos, that even if you have another force which is necessary to actually damage another item, you can still be fired with what you did is intrinsically dangerous. Let us now talk about our case. Putting out the surfing board out of the window of a bus, is that intrinsically dangerous or not?
Yes.
No.
Is that absolutely intrinsically dangerous or not?
Drive normally.
No. Beyond the confines of the
anything. You see all the time.
So I, Baruch Hashem, everyone is coming unison to agree that it's intrinsically dangerous. Baruch Hashem, we have normal people over here. And therefore, since it's intrinsically dangerous, it doesn't matter. You needed the force of the bus to move, and you needed that force to create the actual breakage of that wind. It doesn't matter. You put something intrinsically dangerous, therefore, you're going to be chayav according to Tosfos. Yeah.
For four.
Well, not for eish. So that's called havaras eish, according to Tosfos, once you've done it. Something intrinsically dangerous, even if you need another koach to actually damage at the end of the time. Yeah. So therefore, according to Tosas, you're going to be chayav. According to Rashi, you won't. But you'll be glad to know the halachas like Tosas, and the guy in the surfing board is chayav to pay for the damage.
If the bus driver was aware,
Mashen Kane, the pen in the pocket is not something intrinsically dangerous. He needed another force to actually turn it into something so dangerous, and therefore even Tosas would agree over there that you're released on the shot.
If the bus driver was aware and said, "Nah, it's okay," and drove anyway, would you say that's the case of two people being poshaya, but the surf guy being more poshaya? Would that, what would happen?
I would say that, like someone says, "Can I borrow your hammer and smash this person over the head?" Yeah. It's not just me, don't contradict the guy's hammer. It's the guy's hammer, yeah. It's not just me. That's how I would compare it.
So if the bus driver is worse?
The bus driver is much worse. He's in charge of the bus. He sees a surfing board outside, yeah, he knows that he can stop it to remove it, and he doesn't.
So then only the driver will be fine.
Somebody comes up to the bus driver and says the brakes don't work. He's okay, then I'm fine. It's okay. A surfboard in the corner of a garage is not intrinsically dangerous. A pen in my drawer is not intrinsically dangerous. A surfboard sitting out of the window of a bus is intrinsically dangerous. I want to say a pen in a laundromat inside the laundry machine is intrinsically dangerous.
No.
If it's sitting in the drawer, it's not intrinsically dangerous.
It needs to be moved into position.
No, it's like, let's say somebody comes along.
I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. Why, sir? It's like I put the surfing board down in my resource, in the middle of my garden, and then a wind moves it to hang over the ledge. So when I put it down over there, it wasn't an intrinsic position of danger. It needed to be moved to an intrinsic place of danger. So therefore, that's called...
He put it in the laundry, he took his shirt, and or his pants, put it in the laundry basket, which was on the way to the laundromat,
That's putting in a dangerous place.
No, it's
putting
in the where's water. No, where's the dangerous place? The dangerous place is in the machine itself with the water and that's the machine.
And it was on a conveyor belt on the way.
Yes, conveyor belt, correct, conveyor belt.
But you put it in
that's not the like I said, it's like the example.
You put it in the laundry. If you put it in the laundry, that's a dangerous place. If you put it in a laundry basket, that's a dangerous place.
It's going to be definitely dangerous, but it's not dangerous now. That's how I would say the words. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so now let's go back to our lift. Let's go back to the lift. Five people can fit in the lift, the elevator. Five people can fit in the elevator. Only five people the elevator can take. There's a sign up clearly. And five people are there. Moves up two floors on the way to the 10th floor, wherever floor it's going to go to. And it stops after two floors because somebody on the floor now wants to get in. Two people now want to enter and make now seven people in the lift. Everyone shouts, there's no room. See, it's only five people can go in there. They say it doesn't matter, we're coming in. They come in. The other, everyone has now a chance to get out. We've got seven people. People can go out, they can stay in. Everyone decides to stay in. The lift now goes up naturally to the next stop and it breaks on the way. Yeah? Who's responsible? We said last week, who's responsible?
Two guys.
The last two guys, because they're more negligent, and whoever's more negligent in Hilchus Eish is the one that's more kind. That's how we discussed last week in the sacred time.
Okay.
Yeah, both came in. Both were came in more negligent manner than the first five. And we don't know, so therefore...
No, it could be the sixth guy's the one causing damage.
How did that lift get broken? How did the lift get broken?
The additional weight.
The weight and the movement. The movement of the lift.
Either one? No. Six counter. Only one of them caused the
The movement. The movement of the lift. I'm speaking with extra loud now. The movement of the lift. Together with the force of the weight of those people, created the lift to break. Now, here's an easy question for you. Yeah. Do you need addition to the weight, anything other factor over there which has needed to be added in order to break the lift, or the weight by itself good enough to break the lift?
Had to go up.
What did the moving do? The moving was a force which was added to the mazik to create the damage to the lift, or is it transporting the weight to a situation where it can damage?
Is it adding
to the weight which creates damages, yes. Or is it just transporting the weight to a situation where now the weight can damage? Which one is it?
It's adding to it, but it was there first.
It's putting the weight to the situation.
Is the movement on lift adding to the weight, so now together with the movement, the weight and movement create damage to the lift, or is the movement lift just transporting the weight to a position where the weight by itself can damage?
The weight and the movement is causing the damage.
It is. I think that the weight is putting the situation in a solid place, the weight's not going to cause damage. When it's in a moving state, then the weight causes damage.
That's the first thing.
It's not in a locked situation.
Did it need a partner to create the damage? Or just needed something to transport it to create the damage?
He's going to move anyway, then the movement is there first.
Right, that is the partner.
If it's not going to move anyway until somebody does something, then the weight's then moved.
Right, they pushed the fourth button before the two people came in.
Correct.
So it was going there. It's not like after they came in, then they pushed the button.
I don't think it's dependent on whether it's there first or not. I'm just looking at is the movement an addition for the actual damage, or is it just moving the damage to a place where it can damage?
Addition.
I think I agree with Small over here, even though it's the minority. Of course, the weight in itself can damage. It can't damage if it's stationary. It can only damage with the help of gravity, and gravity can only take place when there's movement. So therefore, and gravity is not an extra force. So therefore, the weight by itself is damaging the lid, and therefore you're going to be chayv, mishumesh. So we haven't changed the pesach, which we said last week, that those two people, who are more negligent than the others, are chayv for damaging lid, mishumesh, and they don't need another force added to it to create the damage. They just need to be transported to a position where their weight can damage, and that means moving up, now it, their weight by itself has the power to break that lid. Oh, that's that may be. Now, let us see a chazanish. All what we said is based on the concept that the person himself can be Eish. Because we learned out from the Ramban last week, a Mishnah which said, somebody's walking happily in the streets, more than like this, we're walking happily in the streets, and he trips up, a stone trips him up, or pavement is not smooth, trips up, and his body now goes flying through the air and falls on somebody's glass vase, smashes, says the Ramban, that your chayv mishum eish, the person who damaged the glass is chayv mishum eish, even though he used his own body to do it. He's not called Adam and Mazik, because the body of the person can be eish, because he is the eish, the trip is the wind, and therefore your chayv mishum eish, but only if you're called negligence. That's what the Ramban said. Yeah, that's what we... So we see, using your own body to damage doesn't have to be other muscle, it can be H. That's where we got the concept that the people who are now damaging this lift with their body is H. Okay. Says the Chazon Ish. Look at number two. Number three, sorry. Number two, sorry. Okay. Says the Chazon Ish, I don't understand. There's the Shulchan Aruch that says clearly, a person himself is on the roof, and nofal baruch she'ena mitzua, and the wind blows him off the roof, blows him off the roof. And he falls on somebody's glass bars, chayv benezik milvad, he's chayv for damages, he doesn't have the best of the dollar bone, he doesn't have the bay, shevis, river, and all those other things, but he's chayv for damage itself, says, Chazanish, I don't understand. The guy's on the roof. An abnormal wind blows him up. And he falls onto something and he's chayev. Why is he chayev? If a person who flies through the air, according to the Ramban, is called Eish, Eish is chayev when you have an abnormal wind. Is Eish chayev if you have an abnormal wind? So therefore, if Eish is not chayev, if you're not in the case where you have an abnormal wind, why is this Shulchan Aruch saying this guy gets thrown off his own roof in an abnormal wind, he's chayev? Why? If he's Eish, he should be chayev?
No, according to what you were saying before, Eish would be chayev in an abnormal wind also, as long as a normal wind would be sufficient to make it cause damage.
But a normal wind would never blow him off the roof.
Okay.
A normal wind wouldn't blow him off the roof. The only because it's an abnormal wind that blew off the roof. If it's only because it's an abnormal wind that blew off the roof, and he's considered Eish, so therefore he should be potter. So why are you chayv? Why does the Shulchan Aruch say you're chayv?
Being on the roof is intrinsically dangerous in itself.
But not in the not in the case where there's normal winds. I'm going on a place where normal winds, I don't expect to fly off the roof in such a case.
Does it matter if you expect it or not, if it's intrinsically dangerous?
It's not intrinsically. Intrinsically dangerous is nothing if nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I don't expect anything. It's a Rosh She'ena Mitzvah. Means it's not expected to happen. Says the Chazon Ish from here, we see that there's no such thing. A person that always damages with his own body is always called Odom HaMazik. Not like the Ramban. We see the Halakha is not like the Ramban. A person who damages his body is considered always Odom HaMazik. Yes? If so, now we have to re-evaluate everything of our case in the Malit. They are damaging the lift with their own selves. According according to Chazon Ish, that now already is not in the category of Eish, it's in the category of Otom HaMazik. Who's damaging the lift?
All seven.
Who's damaging? All seven. Okay. So who should be chayav?
All seven.
All seven. Yeah. What's the din? That's the question which
doesn't
we're
going to
discuss game. Next week. We're learning next week on Hanukkah?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Baruch Hashem, I'll be here. That question you have to think about next week. We saw, if it's Eish, the one who's more negligent is Chayav. Now we said, these persons are not Eish, they're Odom HaMazik. Is that, what's the din when you have seven people who are Odom HaMazik, but two of them are more negligent than the others? Do we also say the same concept that the ones who are more negligent are Chayav? Or there, since it's Odom HaMazik, we're going to say in that case, no, that's different. Odom HaMazik, it doesn't matter who's more negligent than other. If you're all negligent to some sort of degree, then all of you have to now take part in pain. That is the discussion which we'll say next week. We have different cases to discuss about it. Okay, have a good Shabbos.
Are we meeting next week?
Yes, next week we are meeting.